The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Your story has a villain, and you need to prepare for spiritual warfare.
Maybe getting laid off, maybe a breakup, maybe a sickness, maybe a death of someone. You know, that car wreck or that bad news comes, and what do? We got our shield up, and what do? We go, oh, no. Put our shield down, and then he comes full force. Boom, boom, boom,
boom.
Boom.
He ever.
Shooting you from every angle with the lies, with the mm-hmm. deception, the distraction.
Next.
You know, it's a joy to welcome you to our show. I'm grinning because I've learned how to pronounce a Czechoslovakian name. Don't even my name say Czechoslovakia. But Pakluta, Jonathan Pakluta, is that right?
You nailed it.
I nailed it. That's a miracle.
You got it so good.
See, miracles never cease. Your story has a villain. Boy, oh boy. Identify spiritual warfare and learn how to defeat mm-hmm. the deceiver, mm-hmm. the liar,
yeah.
the divider, the destroyer, the father of death. And we can, can't we, Jonathan?
We absolutely can. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the
yes.
world.
I'm
yes.
telling you, the stage is set, in my opinion, for the greatest awakening in history. Okay, I want you to tell us what you're doing. You have a great church in Waco. You have a great ministry. I want everyone not only to be able to get this book. As a matter of fact, if you just help us give somebody a drink of water and you ask for it, we'll send it to you because we want to bless you.
Wow.
But Jonathan, tell us what you want us to hear today.
Yeah, so I just want to thank you guys for having me here. This is amazing. I know there are rulers of nations that have sat in this chair. And so I'm humbled to be here with both of you. I was watching you backstage. You remind me so much of my amazing wife, too, and just so delightful to sit here in front of you guys. Our family moved to Waco 6 years ago, and I don't have a charismatic background, a Pentecostal background. Really, in coming to the faith, I didn't think much of the Holy Spirit or even the supernatural, as embarrassing that as that is. You know, it was, you know, they say Father, Son, and Holy Bible. I was just kind of, I took the Bible and I was just learning it, and I wanted to know everything the Word of God said. And when you would get to the demons, I would kind of, something was happening there. I don't really know much about that. And 6 years ago, we moved to Waco, and I was preaching. I was like, there's a stronghold here. There's a unique spiritual battle being fought here. And I could feel it. I could tell it in my time with the Lord.
You've got a religious university there. That's a spirit of stronghold for the enemy.
There was a spirit of religion there. And I felt it upon me. And I kept saying that in sermons. And people would say, well, what do you mean by that, Pastor? What do you mean? And I said, I don't know. So that sent me on a three-year research assignment where I just took everything in the scripture that it said about spiritual warfare. And I don't claim to be the smartest guy. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit will teach me something before I can teach anybody else. And so I just sat there and I said, I want to really understand this. I want to understand everything God has told us about this. And you see right there, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come so that they might have life and have it to the fullest. And I thought, you know, I want the abundant life, the full life that Jesus came here to offer us. And I understand that my story has a villain. There's an enemy out there, or enemies who hate me,
yes.
and they hate my children, and they hate my family, and they hate my marriage, and they hate our ministry. And so what does it look like for us to defend ourselves against them? And so as I began to write that down, as the Holy Spirit would download that to me through the Word of God, and I would put pen to paper, this book, Your Story Has a Villain, was
born.
And
don't you think it's really important for people to realize the enemy is a deceiver, but the enemy has a voice? And in the spiritual realm, it's like right now we're sitting in a studio.
That's right.
This studio is full of hundreds of voices.
That's right.
From many different channels.
That's right.
And you can tune a channel and hear those voices.
That's great.
Well, there are two major voices. There's the voice of life and the voice of death.
Yes.
There's the voice of truth and the voice of deception. And they both communicate, and you tune in. And the enemy is a master at capturing people's attention and capturing their ears and speaking words of deception. One of the most powerful things I learned about spiritual warfare is all your thoughts are not your own.
That's right.
They are put there by a deceiver.
That's right.
Or by the voice of truth.
Yeah.
And you can recognize them and receive what they offer.
Yeah.
And the enemy that deceives gives division, destruction, death. He is the father not only of lies, but of death.
He says we demolish all arguments and take every thought captive and make them obedient to Christ. And so as you put on the spiritual armor, there's a reason that we start with the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel, the helmet of salvation and the shield of faith, which extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And we never stop praying. I think prayer is the key that opens the chest so that we can put on the armor. But I want to go for a second to this shield of faith, because I think there's something really fascinating that happens here in the Word of God. I believe God is telling us something. So Paul writes this to the church in Ephesus, and he's probably chained to a Roman soldier and using this as an illustration of what it looks like to walk in the full spiritual armor.
He says that shield will quench the fiery darts. Would those fiery darts not be fiery words of deception?
That's right. The lies that the enemy tells us. He's a liar. He's constantly trying to deceive us. And so he says, what is the solution that's going to protect us from the enemy's attacks? Is our faith, our belief in God. Like you said, tuning into that voice, because you got two voices, you got competing voices, but tuning into, okay, Lord, I want to listen to you. And when my, you know, if my kids are lost in a mall or on the beach or anywhere, you know, and I'm like, Weston. And they, you know, someone's saying, hey, look at this. Hey, come here. Hey, little boy. I'm like, Weston, listen to the voice of the Father. Mm-hmm. So I want him to tune in to the voice of God. And so this is my faith. Now it's interesting. Paul says that to the church in Ephesus, but then Peter in 1 Peter 5 says, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith. Here's that word again. Faith is our protection from Satan's attack. Now, if it was just Paul and just Peter, that would be interesting. But then in Luke 22, you have Jesus. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, Satan has asked me to sift you like wheat, to which I would be like, just say no. Just tell him no, Jesus. Just say no. Make like an 80s drug campaign and just say no. You know, but he doesn't. He says, so I will pray for you that your faith will not fail. Now we see that word again three times. There's something to this idea that our trusting in the Father is our protection from the enemy's lies, from our protection from the enemy's attacks. So I really believe that he wants us, and you guys know this, he wants us to put our shield down. That's what, you know, and then he does that through discouragement, through circumstances, maybe getting laid off, maybe a breakup, maybe a sickness, maybe a death of someone. And what happens when
he uses deception, but he also uses deception of distraction.
Distraction.
That take you away. And the distractions can be a magnificent attraction.
It can even
be something that God made that is in fact beautiful, but it is not to be an unhealthy attraction.
That
takes us away from the ability to hear the Father and to shield the darts of the enemy.
That's right.
Excuse me.
You know, no, it's perfect. And I, you know, that car wreck or that bad news comes, and what do? We got our shield up, and what do? We go, oh no, oh no, and we put our shield down, and then he comes full force, boom, 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 boom,
he ever.
Shooting you from every angle with the lies, with the deception, the distraction. You know, one thing that I see in the younger generation right now, the deconstruction. You know, they're just out there like, what do I believe about God? You know, I'm not sure. I'm spiritual but not religious, and really trying to look at every TikTok and Instagram reel, trying to figure out their new faith. You know, some new spirituality, and I think in those moments, we have to go back to, okay, what is true? What's the truth that I can stand on? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. And so we found the cornerstone. We found the strong foundation. We go back to the reality that God loved us so much that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And I have to preach that to myself every single day, returning to the gospel and just the love of God through his son.
I think one thing I've come to realize through years, a lot of years, 81 years of growing, and when I came right before my 19th birthday, kept coming to know Jesus because of James's testimony, and just realizing, because I grew up in the Baptist church, I tried to be good all the time, but I didn't, I did that because I was afraid of God. I didn't realize I had an, after I got saved, I really had an armor I could put on and wear. I read it in the Bible, but I didn't think that was for me. Necessarily, but when I realized that God gave us a defense, Him, His armor to wear and put on, and we didn't have to allow the enemy to come in. And a lot of those darts that he puts that are from the inside out, like I was so fearful.
Right.
A lot of things somebody around me might not know that. I was intimidated.
I saw your, in your book.
I was intimidated, you know. And so it wasn't necessarily material things that people would say, oh, she's being attacked. I knew about them, though, but until I realized that we have a deliverer, and that's Jesus Christ, and that I can stand against the enemy. Yes, he will bring those thoughts of fear again, but I now know how to battle him, and I know how to stand, and that makes a big difference.
You don't have to be afraid. You do have to be aware. That's what I would just say to our viewers. You don't have to be afraid. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. But you do have to be aware that there is a spiritual battle all around you. You have a villain. You have an enemy that seeks to, he wants to hinder your relationship with Jesus. He wants to push you to isolation. He wants to keep you from church. He wants to keep you from serving. He wants you to think that your neighbor is your enemy or your boss or your coworker. No, no, no. Our battle's not of flesh and blood. It's against spiritual beings. These are ancient, brilliant beings who have studied your family line for thousands of years. And they're crafty.
Yes, they are. But you do not have to be deceived by them. If you know the Word, you know His Word. His Word reveals the lies and the liar. And I'm telling you, I'm the beautiful thing is coming to hear the Father's voice so clearly. That you know He never leaves you. He is, and you can hear Him. I honestly believe that we can develop a relationship with the Father that it is very conversational. And I don't want people to think that I'm exaggerating or making it up, but I'm telling you, I hear His whisper. I hear Him talk. I hear Him sometimes speak very forcefully. I always hear Him speak with indescribable love and the deepest compassion, not only for me, with that compassion to flow through me toward others, and He's put it in me. And I believe that He directs my thoughts, He directs my steps, He directs and redirects my desires, my attractions from distractions, attraction to what He wants. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, he's always speaking, and I think He wants us to hear Him. He wants to be heard more than we desire to hear Him. And I want to go back to something I said early on. I'm so thankful for a church. I got saved here in Dallas at a church, and I'm so thankful for the ways that, they taught me the Word of God and to esteem the Word of God. And I'm sure it was my hard-headedness that was just missing the, okay, but the Spirit of God wants to speak to you. He wants to illuminate the things of God through the Word of God and the people of God. And I love that relationship that I believe marks your life, is you are a man who walks with Jesus, listening to the Father. What is it you want from, you know, where do you want me to go? What does faithfulness look like? And I think it's so important for our viewers to understand that you can't always determine obedience by the outcome or even the preconceived outcome. Sometimes when God wants to fight a giant, He raises up a boy with a slingshot. He doesn't do things always in a way that makes the most sense to us in our logical pragmatism. Sometimes he's like, hey, I want you to go share the gospel with that homeless person, or I want you to go share the gospel with that executive in the corner office. And if he asks us to do it, we need to walk over there and say, hey, listen, I've got some good news for you. And you mentioned this, you know, being at the precipice of a great awakening, or the greatest awakening of our generation. And I'm seeing it everywhere I go.
Yes.
And if you have the gift of evangelism, I just want to encourage you with this, that it seems to me that God has just swung open the hearts of men and women everywhere, because I'm sharing the gospel with Uber drivers and servers and security guards and everywhere I go talking about Jesus. And it just seems like people are really interested mm-hmm. in that message. They're like, you mean I can live forever? You're telling me 2,025 years ago, this carpenter was born in Bethlehem and reset the calendar and then lived in Nazareth and became the single most polarizing character in the history of history? And people, whether they have an Islamic background or Hindu background or Buddhist background, whatever it is, they're atheists, you know, agnostic, they're like, yeah, tell me more about that. It's just a new day.
He's alive, and God is using people right now you never would have dreamed he would use. And I've spent my life pouring his life into people that had never heard what they need to hear. And you're seeing the effects of what he did in their lives through the truth shared. I mean, the unadulterated truth shared in unconditional love has changed them to where now they're in leadership circles, even in our national cabinet. I look at them, I think, God, I feel like I picked many of these people because I was sowing seeds in the lives of people who had leadership places and leadership ability, but they didn't understand the voice of wisdom and the voice of truth. But when it was poured on them in love, consistently with deep conviction, nonstop, it began to change them. And now then, it is touching the whole world. Yeah. We are seeing some positives. I believe the stage is set for the greatest spiritual awakening in the history of the world. Yes. I believe that with all my heart.
Yes,
his will can be done on his earth.
I think it's happening.
Can we just commit together that we will be trusting him for that, that we will be asking God to show us how we can help his followers and his family fulfill his dream on his earth.
Absolutely.
Can we agree to that?
Yeah, we can agree.
Father,
that.
I thank you so much. Yes. I just think this guy is so full of you, and I just pray you bless every single thing he does, and bless him down there in Waco. I pray that university down there will explode with your truth.
Yes,
wouldn't that be something?
Yes,
if every church would explode with your love and your truth just flowing like a river of life in Jesus' name. Now, that's a prayer we can all agree with. Yeah. I want you to know that if you will help us give water to people who've never had clean water, just help us, and you'd like to have this book, and you ask for it, we'll send it to you. Your story has a villain. Boy, does it ever. But we can walk over that villain like dust, like a serpent you can crush, like a scorpion you can crush. We can do that. Mm-hmm. And we do it in this life because there's no enemy in the next one.
That's right.
So let's become overcomers now. We are drilling water wells. 350 is our goal.
Wow.
This is the first time that I've ever thought I might have to tell some of our missionaries, we're not going to be able to put a well in your village. Please. I don't want to say that. But I'm telling you right now, we need a miracle in these last week of Water for Life. I need a miracle. Every person that can help, get your bank card, write a check, but call us and tell us if you write a check what you're putting in the mail. And go online right now. Use that bank card like a check. But make the best gift knowing you're giving the greatest gift. When you give Water for Life, we will point everyone to the water of life. Please do it.
Water. It is the essence of life itself. We all need it every day. But what if your only water source is deadly? That's the situation right here where I'm at in South Sudan and in many other places around the world. Their only source of water is contaminated and it's killing them.
I have spoken to mothers in other countries who do not have access to clean water, and the result is devastating. This Cambodian family had recently buried two children who died from disease-ridden water. Elizabeth in South Sudan told me her heartbreaking story of how they had no other choice but to give their children dirty water from the lake. You and I can change that. We have changed it for many villages in various parts of the world. But there are many more that desperately need it. They are asking us. They are begging us. If you could just give us fresh, clean water, we wouldn't be so sick. We could take care of our families. We could live to see another day. As we give water for life, we give life to so many people. And it starts with you.
Well, Betty, I just love those people. And Randy said, we've given to so many. You know, you've drilled over 8,000. That's 8,000 villages. And that's basically as millions of people have been saved and come to Christ. And right now, we have the first time that it looks like if we don't have a miracle this last week, response, everybody watching, and I prayed a long time for everybody watching to give something. But I'm telling you, we need all of you who can drill a well to drill one, $4,800, and everybody can give $48 and give 10 people water the rest of their life. We need it. But Betty, what would you say to all of our viewers to help them understand how precious these people are, how much God loves them, and why we've traveled to 40 countries, most of them many, many times at war, and it's very dangerous. But it's always dangerous for people who have dirty water, because it's killing them, and we can change that. We can give them that miracle.
We can. And, you know, James, as I was sitting there watching our son making a plea for water for these precious people, and their children so especially, I sat there and I thought, you know, when we go into a restaurant, James, they'll always come up and say, what would you like to drink? I'll name off all these different drinks.
We always get water
always
first.
I say, yep. Just water. It's not just water for them. It's life for them. It's so much more. Please join with us. We desperately need your help now in times like this when we're struggling to make sure we can drill the wells everywhere they need to be drilled. So join with us. Please ask God what you can do. Give your best.
Yeah, we just desperately need your help to help them. Because you see, how shall they believe if they don't hear? How shall they hear if they don't preach? But now let's get to the bottom line. How shall they preach the gospel of the kingdom unless they're sent? The bottom line in outreach is the one who sends. And when you send with a gift, you send it in prayer. Would you right now make the best gift you can, knowing you're giving the greatest gift to these precious families? You're giving them the gift of life. You're giving them water for life. We're going to tell them about the water of life, because it's the water of life that inspires life today, inspires people to support life today. It is the life of Jesus that moves us to share life with others. Would you now get your bank card, use it like a check? If you write a check, make it to Life. But call us, please. We need to know today. Call us what you're putting in the mail. Thank you so much. We have some beautiful gifts to send you. And we thank you, and we will send you this book, your story, definitely as a villain. We want to help you overcome. Please, right now, make that life-saving, life-giving gift. Please don't put it off.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of 5. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you Prayers for My Physical Health, a Bible-based collection of 52 prayers designed to bring strength, healing, and renewal to every area of your body. Covering a wide range of physical needs, this beautifully crafted book encourages intimate conversations with God.
With the gift of $100 or more, you may request the Armor of God Tumbler Set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with Ephesians 6:11, are a practical and meaningful way to carry a reminder of God's strength and protection throughout your day. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
This is one of those very exciting days for me when I get to be in the presence of happy children and fresh, clean water. It wasn't that long ago where we came into this village and they had no clean water at all, nothing. And children were dying. Talked to some moms that have lost husbands, lost children. I mean, it was really, really heartbreaking. What an exciting day for me to travel back here today and to see the fruit of what we have given together. When you partner with Life Outreach, it's wells like this that make it possible to give them fresh, clean water. Will you please consider partnering with us today? Go online or call the number at the bottom of your screen and give the best gift that you can give. I know that together we can make a difference, not just in this village, but hundreds of villages all around the world. Let's make a difference and let's change it today.
I think it's very important that I let you know this is the last week now for this Water for Life campaign. And if we're going to do it, the 350 wells, Father, we need a miracle. We need a miracle today. You can be the source of that miracle. If you would like to have Jonathan's book and you ask for it, we'll send it to you. What he shares will help you overcome. Thank you so much. And I promise you, this book, for any gift, prayers for my physical health, you're not going to believe how much you're going to be blessed. I promise you. Thanks for watching. Jonathan, thanks for being with us. I believe that God is going to bless your ministry more than ever.
Thank you so much.
And I'm praying that we'll just be partners in seeing the next great spiritual awakening.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank all of you for sharing life today. What a blessing you are.
I think people spend more time planning for a two-week vacation than they plan for where they're going to spend eternity.
Getting ready for heaven tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.